Hello, and welcome to Knitting Shop Live, the podcast recorded live and unscripted by your favorite knitting gals. We're your hosts,
Brianna,
Kathy,
and Natalie, and a huge thanks to our listeners for joining us. Today is Monday, July 10th, and we will be chatting about why knitting is great for our brain. And this is a KSL Rewind episode, back to episode 8. So now it's time to grab your knitting or crochet or a drink or go on that walk and tune in because we're about to get started. Let's start the way we always do though, guys, with what's on our needles. Brianna.
Tonight, I am working on the rye sock sample. I actually just recorded a video of setting up the gusset of the sock because this is a beginner sock class. So I did all that on my sample sock. So now I'm working on the foot. Nothing special here.
Nice.
That color's really nice, Brianna.
Yeah, my nice bright yellow.
Are you making that for you?
Yeah, I had some leftover yarn. I think it'll just make a pair of socks with a short cuff. So I did like 1-inch cuffs, and then I'm just gonna knit both. I have my two socks, one on stitch holders, one on needles. So I'm going, you know, when I do the gusset on this one, I'll do the gusset and the foot on the other one. That way I'll be all caught up. And when I'm done both toes, I'll have two socks done.
Yay!
Simultaneous sock knitting. We love it. So I am also knitting socks tonight. I do have both of my projects from class that I'm actively working on as well. And I love them both. But I am going on a road trip this weekend, and I always love a pair of socks for a road trip. So I just started another pair of socks. That's what I'm doing.
Nice. Wait, do you have them with you?
I do. But I'm not, literally, I just cast it on. I'm on the fourth round of the cuff.
That's exciting. Is it just like a navy, or what's your...
This is, she's not listening, I'm sure. I'm making this as a birthday gift for my sister-in-law, and I'm using Eagles colors. Mm-hmm. So it's black, gray, and green. Oh. And my cast on, this is how much I love my sister-in-law. Maybe she should be listening. I had to cast on 76 stitches using the German twisted cast on in black.
Ooh.
But the first when I started it, I was just in such a hurry because I wanted to have this going. I accidentally cast on with the gray. I thought about just going with that, but no, I love her enough to start over and am doing black right now. Anyway.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome.
There you go.
That's awesome. I tonight am working on my market bag. So I just got a lot of mesh and I am working on making it into like a decreased side. So that class is coming up this week. We'll have our third class out of four. So we're almost there. We're almost done with market bag.
That looks totally amazing when you hold that up.
It's really fun. It's so fun.
That looks really cool.
Yeah. I'm having a good time with it. All right, you guys, are we ready to jump into our topic?
Yes.
All right. So today's episode is a rewind, like I said, to episode 8. This episode, do we know when it came out?
September 7th of 2019.
Right on. That was so long ago. That feels forever ago.
It's almost 4 years. Is that wild or what? Well, okay, about this. We're recording episode 161. So it is 153 episodes ago.
That's wild.
Crazy.
It's crazy to think that we've been doing this together for 4 years.
And we never run out of talk, do we? We never run out of chat.
We always have something to talk about.
We do.
Love it.
Okay, so we're going to jump into this. Why knitting is great for your brain. And we're going to go round robin. And I feel like maybe we can do a couple of options each. Why knitting is great for your brain. Bina.
Oh boy. Well, I listened to episode 8 earlier today and it was so quick. I almost had to listen to it again. They went by so fast. I was like, is that it? But we talked a little bit about stress relief for our brains. That's why knitting is good, is for stress relief. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I feel like there are not many times that I sit down and knit and I'm stressed out doing it. Like every time it's very either relaxing and zen-like or very like calculated. And even that is stress relieving. Like you don't really think about all of the other stuff that's going on in life when you're deep in a project or simply knitting. So that's like my number one.
Yeah, I'm going to tag right in then. It definitely dissolves tension. And I have to say, I loved listening to this again. I've always loved listening to our rewinds, but it was interesting because when we did this, we recorded episode 8. We were celebrating what we called that year our longest day. We had some changes, schedules or whatnot that we needed to push it out a little bit. And it was just fascinating to revisit it. So talking about the brain, why knitting is great for the brain, I'm going to just put this out there. I've got the aging brain. At 65 years old, you definitely start to feel, well, at any age, but I think at 65, it hits hard, the effects of an aging brain. It happens. So I am going to throw out there that I think that knitting is good for the brain, particularly an aging brain, because of the social connections. So when we knit, we are learning in classes with other people. We're learning on Zoom. We're building relationships, connections. And there's so much to be said for as we age and the brain, how important it is to keep social connections, whether it be talking on the phone, being in a class, being out there at other things, it's important. So I think the active, and then I say this to Ed all the time, you know, when we try some new things and, you know, he's like, why are we doing this? I'm like, it makes us interesting. So I think that for the aging brain, you know, definitely, and for the aging person in period, it keeps you interesting when you're doing these things. So knitting, I think, really adds to that. It gives you some conversation to engage in and share ideas. So social helps the brain a whole lot.
I love it. You're so right. I think it's one of those things where there's so much community around it. And that is something that's really hard to find, even just like in adulthood in general, because there's less opportunities to like be in a setting where you're at the same stage of learning with every single person around you. So I think it's one of those really rare and beautiful ways to make new friends too.
Yeah, and the knitting community itself is a pretty wide community with like you can find a knitting community anywhere, and they're all so welcoming. Mm-hmm. I feel like with other hobbies, like, yeah, you can join sports leagues and like pick up a hobby and just find a place that you can do it and maybe meet people that are doing it as well with you. But knitting is so much more than the actual knitting part of it when you're talking about the community, for sure.
Yeah, it is so welcoming. And again, that's always nice in every age of life to find a welcoming place where you become a part of and you feel that you belong there and you are welcomed. You know, the other thing too with knitting and the social part of it and the people we meet, typically we spend enough time with them, we're interested in what they're doing enough that we remember them for a very long time and you can see them years later. You might not remember their name, I will confess to that, but you will remember their face and you will remember their project. So it's definitely fascinating how the memory factor, which again, our brains are responsible for memory, it just lingers a little longer in the world of knitting.
Yeah. Definitely. I feel like there has to be something. So this actually ties in really well to what I was, what my first one is. And that is like technical, like problem solving. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of memory link with like technical kinesthetic motion. I'm not a scientist, but I know for me as a person, like even when I was in school taking notes, I would more than likely remember where I took the note in my notebook. And that's how I would start to jog my memory back to what it said. Mm-hmm. And I still do that, like at work, like I can visualize where I wrote that down. I know it's on the left side of my notebook on the back of a page that it's not supposed to be because I remember the placement, and then it's going to help me find the actual information and remember that. So that could just be me being super weird, but I do think that there's something there. But I think too, one of the things that really got my mind going when I was thinking about this topic is it's not a thing to have to solve problems with your hands every day, especially in a world where we're so chronically on the computer. You just don't use your hands outside of a keyboard all that often, unless you're in a trade or you're in a specific job that requires you to use your hands like every day. So for me, I find that this is my opportunity to really like not only problem solve through an issue, but then apply it in my hands, which I gotta believe that that is a positive thing for the brain to incorporate multiple mediums of comprehension. So that was kind of where my mind went.
You know, Natalie, I hope we have some scientists listening to us that we don't know them, and you are going to be out there. That was a great, that's a really thought-provoking perspective of it all, like the multi-layer problem resolution. It's the thinking, it's the notes, it's the processing, it's the doing it. That's really cool when you put that all together. Yeah. And, you know, when we knit, I think we are so many knitters. We know this. Knitters have notebooks. They really do. And, or there's places on their patterns that they've made those notes. And where did I write that? And just glancing at the edge of the paper where I wrote that triggers right away what you said. I just read something. I get AARP newsletters because I'm old enough to do that now. But I typically will glance through them. There's always some interesting things. And this was interesting. The whole how we grocery shop. And as you're making your list, you know, the thought process of being able to organize it so that it's in categories and aisles. And that's a little bit like the knitting and knowing where those notes are and the organization of it all. So interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That was going to be, Natalie, you just like went over a full category of not knitting, but like diving deeper into that stuff though, I always feel like my brain is working not like overtime, but in a totally different way than I ever use it at work or just in life in general, with the like spatial awareness, the visualization and conceptualization of the projects themselves. Because there's a lot of patterns out there that they don't give you photo tutorials for. And if they do, you still have to make sure that it's the same as what they're giving you in your hands. Like I'm knitting on socks right now. And this is a gray pattern by Tin Can Knits. I love it. And they have these like cute little like hand-drawn illustrations of each section of the sock. But as you're going through it, I find that like the enhancement of knowing exactly the part of the sock that you're working on and the technique that you're using and how that is actually turning into a sock is the part of knitting that I really enjoy. It really gets me thinking about things in all sorts of different ways. And like at work, yeah, of course, like I'm problem solving at work. I feel like everybody does a little bit of that. Mine's mostly like customer service based problem solving and maybe some computer stuff, but like this is way different than anything else that I do. So having all those different facets of learning and understanding is great. And knitting can help with that.
Absolutely. I definitely, you know, it's until we actually, I think, got into knitting as we have, and all of the knitters out there who are knitting projects, especially when they're garments that you're wearing, whether it's a sock, a hat, mittens, a sweater, you know, I think up until you actually stitch by stitch, create it yourself, it's easy to throw something on and go, this is a shirt. But now, what you've learned and what your brain has absorbed is it's more than a shirt. I now understand the anatomy and how it comes together. And just you're learning even though you don't need that knowledge necessarily to follow the instructions on the paper, your brain is activated to understand that. So I love it. Okay. So again, I'm going to go back to the aging brain because you need somebody to do that. And I'm going to tell you this, my brain needs to be rewarded. In life, I just like to be rewarded. And so one of my rewards is to really wake up and realize that I have a purpose. Purpose is huge. And I find that whatever I'm knitting, my brain is being rewarded with the satisfaction of producing items, you know, whether they're for myself or a gift or for charity. And I feel like that really, you know, stimulates your brain as well. And then it wanders down the path of, that was really fun. I feel so good about that. What else could I do? It gets you thinking about additional ideas. So again, it's activating your brain with new thought processes, but it's rewarding too. So I need to be rewarded for everything I do.
Definitely. I feel like it's that same like reaction. Like I compare it a lot to like finishing a book or like even when I'm shopping for something and I find like the thing I'm looking for and I purchase it, like that kind of like, oh, this feels great. I have this endorphin rush of like the thrill of the find or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is sometimes the same endorphin rush that I get when I finish something in my knitting. Cause the next thought I have is like, I want to go through my stash and start thinking about what's next. Mm-hmm. Or I want to have a queue of projects that lined up that I know I really want to make, so that I can just start getting them in the queue and going, because it gives me something that is practical for my hands that I can really, really look forward to.
And endorphins are good for our brain, aren't they?
They are. They say that in Legally Blonde, don't they?
I'm thinking yes. Well, then they are.
There you go. If it's in Legally Blonde, it's correct.
That's absolutely right. We could add like a sequel to the movie, maybe. Yeah.
I the other place my brain goes thinking about this question kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, Kathy, about connection. Mm-hmm. And I really do think there's something so cool about doing some of these processes that are slow processes. They're antiquated processes that are steeped in history. And like, I just sometimes when I'm doing this and I realize how much of a part of my life it is. And then I look back and think about how that's probably been the case for so many women in my ancestry. That too kind of makes me feel like I'm part of something bigger. And it's a positive reaction in my brain to keep going. So that piece of it too, like the connection that we all have together in our community, but also the way we're connected to, you know, the women and men in our past who have done this. And, you know, I feel like it gives you a really good appreciation for what it's like to have to make your own clothes and not to have all of the machinery that we have now. So yeah. Very cool.
Yep.
I love that. I'm running out of things. We're like hitting some really big topics here. But the other thing I do want to touch on is, and we talked a little bit about this, but a lot of the reason I like to knit and the reason I pick the projects that I do is for the technicality of them and the arithmetic that's involved in knitting and just not even designing a pattern, because that's like a whole nother level of arithmetic and conceptualization, but literally like finding your sweater size. I love that. I actually just I just connected with somebody who wants to knit a sweater for the first time, and we went over, you know, like gauge swatches and like how to pick the size that you want, because there's not really like a direction on how to do that. So just the math part of it in figuring that out, like what size you are, what size on the pattern matches you, and then like figuring out the stitch count and stitches per inch, that is like one of my favorite things to do, which sounds really nerdy, but I like doing that for a lot of things and anything that involves numbers. And if there's a problem that we need to like figure out with math, I'm into it. Like, that is my cup of tea and knitting. And I think that kind of stuff is great for your brain.
Yeah. So here's a really, I think it's a great brain exercise. And I've done this, and I think we all have done this. But maybe some of our listeners haven't yet. So we can't knit everything as much as we want to. It's like every single pattern speaks to you, every single yarn, but there is a limit to what we can really produce, you know, physically and time-wise. But I used to sit and read patterns that I would never be able to knit, but I just was enjoying the process of what I thought it would be and just following that through. That's like, well, I know that people have also told me that they read recipes with the same idea of just understanding how the pieces all come together. It's a good brain exercise, because especially sometimes I would hide the picture. I don't want to see the picture. I just want to try to read it through and then look at the picture and see if what you had in your mind is close to what the actual picture of the product is, whether it be a cake you're baking or a sweater that you're knitting.
That's right. A really good technique to put into practice, even, you know, if you're not planning on doing it, or if it is a project that you want to do, read through it, figure it out in your head first, and then look at the pictures.
Yeah, then take a look and see if it's really what you thought it would be. Yeah. So here's another one. And this is a little bit of a brain. Well, it is a brain exercise. Again, our brains can get so cluttered. And I do think that a good exercise, I know for me, is to really focus, and down to the point of, which we've touched on this, but down to the point of staying in the moment, just stay in that very moment and filter out anything that's coming at you. Again, you can almost feel your brain pushing away what it doesn't need to hear or think about at this very moment. So I think, again, knitting, because it does give us focus, then just taking it to the point where I'm staying in just this very moment and my brain is actively pushing away anything it doesn't need.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good one. I also think too, I think we talked a lot about the technical aspect of this, but it just occurred to me how positive the creative aspect with what you were just saying, Kathy, is to this, and how, you know, I don't really have that many other outlets where I get to be absolutely as creative as I do in my knitting and my crochet. And one that comes to mind, I'm teaching Christmas stockings right now, and we were just in class a few days ago and talking about just like all the different elements you can incorporate into it. You know, we were talking about throwing, you know, a Latvian braid right in the middle of your Christmas stocking, or, you know, using patches on there for things that are too detailed for a real Faroe Isle panel, or, you know, sequins or baubles. Like, how do you add texture elements into it that make it more what you want, more kinesthetic, more, I don't know, just fun, and try different things, but, you know, make it what you want to make it. So that those kinds of things are always my favorite, because you can make something that's so unique, but you can be using the same pattern over and over again.
Yeah. And I think knitting really allows the mix of medias. Like Natalie, you just listed a whole ton of like crafts and crafting supplies that could be a part of knitting. So, you know, we have a lot of knitters who do a lot of other crafts too, and you can intertwine those. That really is like mega creative. That's like far beyond what I'm able to do, but absolutely, I love that.
It's like an art project.
Yeah. And it's typically like when you're incorporating, when you're going into the mixed media, your brain, it's because it's your creation, your brain is doing the work there as to, well, how will I do this and where will I place this? And yeah, it's good thought provoking there.
Yeah,
very. All right, you guys. Well, any other thoughts here on why knitting is good for the brain?
Well, I'm out of thoughts. How about you, Brianna?
I'm out of thoughts about why knitting's good for the brain. Knitting's just good in general.
There's no downside. It's, well, yarn can be expensive and it does take a lot of time, but other than that,
it's happy. Happy brains are healthy brains. Okay, so can I throw us under the bus for a second?
Yeah.
All right, Brianna and Natalie did not know this, but listening to the rebroadcast of KSL number 8, we did the mental evaluation game where you have to count backwards from 100 to 0 by 7. So we're going to do this. Now, our listeners can't see us, but we're going to put down what we've got in our hands and we're going to hold them in front of our face. And we're going to look at each other and we're going to count backwards by 7. So Brianna, okay. You're first.
Okay. So I'm going to start at 100.
93.
66. Or 8. Whoa, 86.
79.
72.
65.
58.
51.
44.
37.
30.
23.
16.
9.
2.
Yay! We did it!
Woohoo!
Negative 5.
Let's keep going. So for our listeners, you might want to try that again with us. And that is a legitimate evaluation. And it's hard. It's very hard. Okay. Just
very hard.
There, sorry.
I love it. All right, you guys. Well, do we want to move on to the next thing on our docket today?
Absolutely.
All right. Favorite thing. Shout out your favorite thing of the week, Brianna.
Listen, don't take this the wrong way, because I don't think I'll ever say this again, but I think my favorite thing this week is the sock pattern, Rye Socks by Tin Can Knits. I mean, I have been knitting them. We're going into our week 5 class this week, so we've been knitting them for 4 weeks, but I actually like the process of socks. My problem with socks is knitting two separate ones in fingering weight yarn, but this pattern is worsted weight, and I think how I'm doing it is really working out. So if anybody has problems knitting socks like I do, try my method of doing, you know, the cuff on the first sock and then the cuff on the second sock and then alternating each section from there. I'm feeling really accomplished. Like, I almost have a whole sock done and my other sock is half done. So wow. I'm feeling good. That's my favorite thing this week.
Nice. Nice. That's a whole new world. Brianna likes socks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I just got chills. I just got actual goosebumps.
All right. So my favorite thing this week is Freon. I drive my little brown car, my 1997 Saturn that I love because it has 60,000 miles. It did pass inspection today, and the station that we went to and asked, and they were able to put Freon in it. So the car has air conditioning, at least through the rest of the summer.
Oh, yeah,
little things in life. I'm very happy for Freon.
Woohoo.
Love Freon.
I didn't know they made it anymore, but they do.
That's awesome. A little AC never hurt anyone, huh?
Never. Never.
All right. Well, mine's kind of similar to that, Kathy. My favorite thing this week is ice. I am not used to having ice. We have ice trays at our last place and like we would fill them, but you know, the idea of having to fill it again would make me not use it. But we have an ice maker in our freezer now. And all I do all day is put ice in my glass. I feel like over and over again. I love it.
Isn't that the best thing ever?
Yeah.
Yes, I have never had an ice maker. And I use a lot of ice because I love ice in my drink, winter or summer. I just like ice. And I think I'm going to have to, my next refrigerator will definitely have an ice maker in it. I went to a party the other day and I was putting ice into my wine. And the girl didn't have an ice bucket out, but she just pulled open her freezer and had the little shovel thing in there to put the ice right in your glass. I'm like,
oh. That's the best. And you know what? I was looking at Amazon last night because if I ever move somewhere without an ice maker ever again, I'm going to buy one of those detachable ones that like is a standalone because this is the best thing that's ever happened to me, except for Chris. Chris and the ice maker, best things that ever happened to me.
Top two. Woo-hoo.
All right, you guys, our next hard hitting question is, what's for dinner?
Oh, tonight there's a lot of things in the fridge that we have to eat or else it's going to go bad. But I have had these like 4 tomatoes sitting out on the counter and I've had them out there for like 2 weeks and they've been fine. This morning I touched one. It's getting a little mushy. You guys don't need to know that, but we are going to use them for dinner. So we're going to have like tomato slices with mozzarella slices with a little bit of seasoning on top, maybe some crackers to go with. But I have this really awesome, it's this like balsamic vinegar reduction sauce. So it's this like really thick balsamic syrup that gets drizzled on top with a little basil. That's my dinner tonight. I'm so excited.
Sounds delicious. I think I want to redo my dinner. I ate already and I had a burger, which I made. I made cheeseburgers for Ed and I, and they were good. And then I made cucumber salad with cucumbers from the garden across the street. So that was very good too. But
very good.
Sounds really good, Brianna.
Yeah, this is amazing, you guys. I also had kind of like a summery meal today. We did, I made some orzo and then I put like a can of chickpeas, some spring mix, some cucumber, tomatoes, and some red onion in there. And we have like an outdoor space now. So I have a garden and we have like an abundance of basil. So I made pesto to like use as like a sauce on all of it. And oh my God, amazing. 10 out of 10. I would make this again every day for the rest of my life.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good TikTok find. I highly recommend. All right, guys. Last thing on the docket before we say goodbye to all of our lovely listeners for the evening. News and updates. Brianna, do you want to take it away with Roots News?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of things coming to you guys. I actually just put out our July community dates. They're the 19th and the 29th of this month. But on July 29th, our fall calendar is going to be open for registration. We have, I think, at least 20 classes on the next calendar that we're very excited about all of them. But that they will be available July 29th. We have a lot of fun things planned for that too. That whole day is going to be just a really fun day. We have a lot of new yarns coming out, some new kits coming out. We are, as we always do, for each enrollment that people sign up for, they get placed in a running for a free class. So one of their classes, including materials, will be completely free. And we have some tote bag giveaways that are be happening as well. Plus like a lot more stuff, that I can't even get into. There's like a full list of things we have planned for you guys. But 10 a.m. that day, we will be having a Facebook and Instagram live that morning, where we just talk about all of the classes. We give little explanations, maybe some sneak peeks about yarn recommendations for some of those classes. And at 12:30 that day will be the community that is already up on our website. So if you missed the 10 a.m. or if you just want to chat with us further, or you know, just chat with our community of makers, join us at that 12:30 community.
So we could be with you all day from like 10 till 1:30.
Oh, yeah. You can have coffee and breakfast with us and then coffee and lunch. Or lunch.
Well, can I just throw this out there? Tell me to stop if I shouldn't, but I'm going to say, if we have any listeners who are not getting Roots emails, could we suggest them that they put their email addresses into the, where they listen? Can they send it to us there?
Sure, but I would say if you don't receive our emails, we do have a contact page on our website. It's rootsknitting.com. If you pop in your email address and hit submit, you will be part of our general subscription list where you get all those like really major updates. We don't overwhelm people with emails. It's maybe about like once a week you get something. And if you're in classes, you get the emails for the Zoom links too. And then if you can't find us that way, send us an email at info.rootsindig@gmail.com. That is in the show notes. So you can just copy and paste our email address into an email and send us your info and we'll put you on the list ourselves.
Nice. Perfect.
Thank you. Because the best email you get of the day or the week is a Roots email. It is. You just go, oh, yes, let me open this now. I'll ignore all the other emails and open that. All right. And then, okay, shout out for our next episode, you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so our next episode will be episode 162, and we'll record next week if that's good for everybody. And are you ready for the topic? You got a week to work on this. Bad manners hot buttons. There's a topic, huh? So this week, what is some bad manners out there that you have seen or experienced that just make you go, no? So
I already have one.
I know. Look around this week and see what it is. Bad manners. All right. That's my news.
Guys. Well, thank you for listening to our podcast today. We wonder, are you listening? Please add a review to where you listen to KSL. Share us on Facebook and Instagram to let us know that you are listening and we are making a difference. We'd love to hear from you and invite you to join us on a future podcast. We promise there is no work involved. Please just email Kathy or Brianna and Natalie if you would like to join us on a show. Be sure to read the show notes for links to our emails. Hopefully you finished your project, drink, or walk by now because it's time for us to bind off. Thanks for listening.